from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. The state's two largest utilities are pushing for a sizable rise in customer rates so they can pay a larger return to investors who lend the electric and gas companies money. The moves come after several years of devastating wildfires caused by those very same utilities. KQED's politics correspondent Marisa Lagos reports.
In proposals filed with state regulators Monday, PG&E and Southern California Edison are proposing 16 and 17% returns on equity for capital investors, far above the industry average of less than 10%. Both utilities already have among the highest returns on equity in the nation. But PG&E officials say they won't be able to borrow enough money to make needed safety improvements if they don't increase the return on equity. The proposals appear political, however. A PG&E spokeswoman says the utility would revisit the request if state leaders, quote, reach a sustainable and equitable policy solution to the wildfire crisis. PG&E and other utilities have been pushing for changes to state laws to help them defray the cost of wildfires. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
PG&E has also announced a change to its board of directors aimed at appeasing a New York-based hedge fund with a 2% stake in the utility. It's bringing in the former CEO of a Michigan-based utility to replace its former board chairman. And a former head of the National Transportation Safety Board will be a special advisor to incoming CEO Bill Johnson, who takes over next week. In Washington today, the Supreme Court hears oral arguments over whether a citizenship question belongs on the 2020 census. The state of New York is up against the Department of Commerce in the case. Like California, New York argues asking such a question would undermine the accuracy of the census. Our state, which recently scored a court victory of its own on this very issue, has filed a brief supporting New York's position. It's the latest example of Attorney General Javier Becerra working alongside his counterparts in other states. Here's part of a recent conversation we had in his Sacramento office.
I'm just curious, how do all of these attorneys general band together? How do they talk to each other? How do you communicate and decide, you know what, we're going to do this?
It's actually not as hard as it seems. You wake up one morning, you see what the president's doing, and you scratch your head and say, I think this is against the law, isn't it? And all of a sudden, you start hearing from your colleagues, isn't this against the law? And before you know it, you've got a band of very smart and dedicated state attorneys general saying, no one's above the law. And so we take action. And that's what we've had to do in this case against the fabricated national emergency, where the president is trying to redirect funding, taxpayer dollars, in ways that only Congress can. That's what we did in the census case. That's what we've done in so many of these environmental lawsuits to challenge the Trump administration's efforts to undermine and roll back environmental protections. And that's what we've done on a number of immigration cases, including the DACA case, where the Trump administration tried to proceed illegally in undoing a program that has protected a lot of very young people in this country who are right now able to live outside the shadows.
How does that conversation with those partners actually take place? Is it you picking up the phone? I mean, do you have a G-chat going? What is that like?
Yeah. I'm not sure I know what a G-chat is, but we do have conversations. But honestly, the most important conversations occur with our teams, the attorneys who actually do the day-to-day work. And it's the AGs talking together that helps sort of close the deal. But it's really just the talented teams that we have of attorneys who are doing all the work, who have that communication, so that by the time it gets to the AGs, we're pretty clear where we want to go, and it's just confirming who's part of the team.
That was part of my conversation with Attorney General Javier Becerra in Sacramento. We're going to stay in Sacramento now, where park rangers have increased ticketing for certain offenses along a parkway just a few miles from the state capitol. That has homeless advocates considering legal action. KQED's Michelle Wiley has more.
Along stretches of the American River Parkway in Sacramento, you might not immediately notice the homeless camps tucked away in the trees and brush. People use the pathways for biking or running. The dense foliage makes it easier for people to be discreet, at least until the river starts to rise, as it does every year. Here's Supervisor Phil Cerna. The parkway runs right through his district.
And when the water rises in the floodplain of the American River Parkway, those that are living in the parkway come out of the water. They tend to occupy the crown of the levee, which is more visible to everyone.
But while camping along the river might not be anything new, the surge of tickets that homeless residents have received from park rangers is. As first reported by the Sacramento Bee, tickets for things like having a shopping cart on the parkway or using rope to tie up a tent have skyrocketed since the beginning of the year. Thomas Nimmo has been living on the parkway for the past few years. He recently got ticketed by a ranger.
I said, I ain't been here maybe 5-10 minutes, and then you guys showed up. Next thing I know, I'm getting harassed. So they gave me a ticket for having a buggy in the park. They said, well, we can't get you on anything else, but we'll get you on this.
That's because of a decision out of Idaho, upheld by the Ninth Circuit last year, making it unconstitutional for rangers to cite the homeless for camping, like they used to, unless people have somewhere else to go. But they can be cited for other violations. Even though homeless residents can often work off the tickets through community service, advocates say that citing someone for littering or building a fire is still targeting them for being homeless. Bob Erlenbush is with the Sacramento Regional Coalition to End Homelessness.
The consequences of that are that homeless people get a citation, they can't pay, and if they can't do community service to work it off, then it goes to warrant, and then potentially they can go to jail. And of course, that hurts them in terms of getting employment and getting housing, etc.
Officials with the park rangers say they do not take housing status into account when issuing tickets, and that anyone engaging in these practices on the parkway would get a citation. But advocates say if rangers don't stop targeting the homeless on the parkway, the county may be facing a lawsuit. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley in Sacramento.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life science communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely. And Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they add the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com.
And that's the California Report. I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great day.